Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday, November the 27th, and welcome to episode number 12 of The Beer Crate, the podcast for ale lovers the world over. Each week, we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national, and international breweries, and of course, tasting a wide selection of beers, ales, and ciders. Lager boys need not apply. Coming up on today's show, we have news, we discover what is meant by bright beer, we look at the history behind Adnams Brewery, quick tastings, and our Try Before You Die section. So let's get cracking. News, and the BBC are detailing the reasons why they think beer sales are slumping, something we reported on recently. They blame the health issues of beer, not if you drink sensibly, like all of us here do. The transformation of pubs into restaurants with food options taking away focus and business from beer. The increase in female spending, which statistically focuses on wine and bottled cocktails. The fashion for non-beer drinks thanks to the J2O and the Magnus effect. And a change in culture. All are sensible suggestions and in some cases can be shown to be true. What all these have in common, however, is the blatant increase in commercialisation of pubs on the part of pub co's and breweries. If they don't stock decent beer, or have a sensible selection, then truly, no one will want to spend much money on beer. I can imagine a situation 5 years from now, when we will have replaced the Irish and American themed bars with beer-themed bars, where it is sold as a curiosity of a bygone age, and I really hope that doesn't happen. The Victoria near Hyde Park in London has been awarded the Griffin Trophy by Fuller's. This is an annual Pub of the Year competition, with the Griffin Trophy being awarded to the Fuller's pub that has most impressed the panel of judges for its appearance, quality of ales, food, atmosphere, commitment and enthusiasm. It has also appeared in the Camera Good Beer Guide, as it has for the last 4 years. Christmas ale season is here, and as if you hadn't noticed, and in honour of the festive season, Everard's are relaunching Sleighbell. This cask ale weighs in at 4.5% and is available now until the end of the year. It is also the brewery's most successful seasonal ale to date, and knowing their usual output, such as Tiger, this should be good. As far as I know, all the beer festivals have ended for this year, so there is no drinker's diary. This is a traditional change of season, where the quality of supping ale is replaced for quantity at Christmas parties. But if you're still gagging, then at the 7th Derby 12th Night Winter Beer Festival, which begins on the 3rd of January, to your calendar for next year. Bright beer. Bright beer is one where the yeast is no longer in suspension. This is sometimes called filtered beer. It applies to all beer that contains yeast, which is pretty much all of them, and that will contain a yeast sediment. It is therefore up to the brewery to determine whether the yeast should be forcibly removed or allowed to settle naturally. To forcibly remove yeast, a process of filtration is applied. The granularity of the filter determines the amount of yeast and other materials that are filtered out of the beer. A fine filtration, for example, will remove all the yeast, along with fine grain hops or grain. Sterile filtration can remove almost everything, including the colour itself. Some beers are cold filtered, which forces the protein to clump together, making them large enough to be filtered by large grain sheet filters. Many lagers use this process, although for ales, the cooling process itself is enough to destroy a lot of the fine and delicate tastes present. You can spot filtered brews by the term brewery conditioned, which is often applied to the beer. Of course, it's not necessary to filter the beer at all. You can keep the yeast present. These are bottled conditioned or cask conditioned ales. This requires that the yeast is removed naturally from the beer, or at least not actually poured into your glass. When yeast is removed naturally, it usually occurs through a process called dropping bright, where the remaining yeast cells fall to the bottom of the vessel. They fall through gravity, although this can be accelerated or decelerated by the amount of CO2 in the beer, the temperature, and the type of yeast itself. Because drinking beer with yeast particles is very unpleasant, both from a visual and drinkability standpoint, you will often have to wait for the yeast to settle. Finings, such as isinglass, are often introduced, which forces the beer to drop bright once the cask has been opened, which leads to a fully settled pint much more quickly. Quickly in this sense can mean anywhere from 2 hours to 3 days, so it's certainly not as immediate as the lagers. Alternatively, some beers are distributed as rack bright. This means that the beer has already stood to drop bright at the brewery, but then transferred into another container, sans yeast. To stop the yeast making it into your beer, you'll find kegs are stored on the stillage at a slight angle, so that the yeast can collect under the tap, thereby preventing it from escaping. When drinking bottled conditioned beer, you may notice some brown clumps of yeast at the bottom. Don't pour it out. It's quite an unpleasant taste and the reason for leaving some beer left in the bottle, but you can use that as an excuse to go and get another beer. Adnams Brewery. Like many popular breweries, Adnams began life when it was purchased from somebody else. In this case, George and Ernest Adnams bought the Sole Bay Brewery in Southwold, Suffolk, in 1872, and was incorporated and became a public company in 1890, and is run jointly by the Adnams family and the Loftus family, who joined the board in 1902. They have since grown their operation into the nearby town of Raydon. Of the 85,000 barrels Adnams produce each year, the majority of these come from their three primary cask ales: Broadside, Explorer, which began life as a summer seasonal and is now a regular, and their standard bitter. Unlike many other breweries, Adnams make all three available in bottles, but, like those that do, their bottled beers are slightly higher in alcohol than their cask counterparts. The cask bitter, for example, is 3.7%, whereas the bottle variety is 4.5%. Explorer comes in at 4.3 or 5.5, and Broadside, my personal favourite, is either 4.7 or 6.3, depending on the source. There are also six seasonal ales to choose from. Oyster Stout, which I hope to see on some pumps shortly as it is a winter stout, hitting the 4.3% mark. Regatta, a summery 4.3% golden ale with a lot of citrus flavours and hop and yeast notes at the back of the mouth. Mayday, also a golden ale, but slightly stronger at 5%. There's also a rich amber ale called Barley Mow at 5%, and Tally Ho, which is a 7% barley wine available through winter. This may or may not be a reference to the playing cards or the prisoner, I'm not sure. Adnams have also released a sixth seasonal ale, Old Ale, but that seems to be available only during winter last year. Like many of the larger breweries, Adnams owns pubs, around 70 of them at last count, mainly around the home counties. But if you can't find one in your area, the local supermarket may be able to help, as some have been stocking Broadside for quite a while now. If you still aren't sure who Adnams are, look for the Beer from the Coast slogan, and you won't be far off. Quick tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Bink, from Kirkcon. This is a musky blonde with a large head, and it has a tang of bitterness running through it with an initial wetness. It does need a neutral palate, but it does start off fizzy, which helps with this. This fizziness then dies away, and the flavour is allowed to emerge. This fizz returns to tingle the taste buds just before the aftertaste disappears. It is bottle fermented and 5.5%, and I score it 7 out of 10. Also from Kirkcon, Adelardus. This is a heavier beer at 7% and is a very dark ruby colour. This is nice. Unfortunately, the taste is a thin, wet brownness, and it doesn't have any aftertaste either. So it's a good beer for having with food, but not a real drinking ale as such. 6 out of 10. Hoegaarden Rosé, from Hoegaarden InBev. As you'd expect with a name like Rosé, this is a very fruity beer. It's got a solid fruit nose and very little as it goes down. There's also not a lot of sweetness here that you might expect for sort of this kind of beer. The framboise dies quickly in the mouth, which gives you a good excuse for having more. It's a very drinkable beer at just 4.5%, and I score it 8 out of 10. Lambic Exotic, from Chapeau de Troc. We've featured the de Troc brewery several times on Quick Tastings, so you should be aware by now that this will be a Belgian fruit beer at 3.5%. This one, however, has the strongest fruit hit of any of the de Troc beers. It does have a good tartness to it, and there are sweet touches around the mouth, which give it a rather full flavour. However, the flavour itself is not as good as some of the other Detroit beers, so I can award this just 6 out of 10. Try Before You Die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Young's Double Chocolate Stout. This is a dark 5.2% beer, combining pale ale, crystal and chocolate malts, and various sugars. The dark chocolate present gives it a nice comfort ale sweetness, while the combination of Fuggles and Golding hops re-establish this as an English brewed beer. Pretentious words like indulgent and sensual spring to mind when describing it. It's only available in bottles, but Young's Pubs often keep a decent-sized stock of this, and it's also available from supermarkets like Waitrose, and particularly good in the winter months. This is also a multi-medal winning beer, having been awarded a gold medal at the Brewing Industry International Awards in 2000, a silver medal in 2002, and bronze medals in both 1998 and 2004. Since we've already discussed the history of Young's Brewery back in episode 2, there isn't much more I can add here. To recap, the brewery was founded in 1581 by Humphrey Langridge in Wandsworth, South London. They grew their business by buying pubs in the area and selling bottled beers. They're also famous for Waggle Dance and were recently merged with Young's. While very good on its own, one popular serving suggestion is to mix it with an equal amount of Wells Banana Bread beer, that I hope to introduce you to in a future podcast. You should definitely try it solo first, however, and once you've experienced its complexities, try mixing a half pint of it with the banana bread beer, also from Young's. Then if you don't like it, you can drink them individually, as they're both stunning, but it's the double chocolate stout I'm thinking of right now, and that's why it features as this week's Try Before You Die. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. Has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.